This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Future Farm Botanicals Liquid Wild Oil of Oregano with rosemary extract and natural honey flavor. Future Farm's Wild Oil of Oregano supports a variety of healthy benefits, including antimicrobial effects, as well as supporting the immune system. Plus, Future Farm is the first ever to formulate Wild Oil of Oregano with rosemary. Rosemary aids circulation, helps alleviate muscle pain, improves memory, and also gives your immune system a boost. The natural honey flavor enhances the taste while still giving you all of the benefits. For more information and to order, call 888-841-7216, 888-841-7216, or go to myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. That's future, P-H-A-R-M, myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. Wild oil of oregano is all natural, science-based, and works without adverse side effects. MyFutureFarm.com/Hoffman. Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and today we're talking to Dr. Dana Cohen, author of Quench. It's a book about hydration and in all its manifestations. And Dr. Cohen, I was going to share with you an article which really kind of substantiates this notion that dehydration has profound effects. It's from the Georgia Institute of Technology. Dehydration alters human brain shape, activity, and slackens task performance. So, now, a very sophisticated study, exercise physiologists at the Georgia Institute of Technology studied volunteer subjects who sweated a lot but did not hydrate. And so they used sophisticated techniques. They tested them on certain tasks, but they also used brain scans to look at brain function while they were performing the tasks. And what they found is that when participants exercised, sweated, and drank water, their ventricles contracted, which is not good. That's kind of brain shrinkage. But with exertion plus dehydration, the ventricles did the opposite. They expanded. Actually, I think I have it backwards. It's the ventricles contracted and they expanded with dehydration. That's brain swelling. That's not good.
Yeah, very interesting. You know, when they look at MRIs, MRIs are meant to be looked at in a properly hydrated brain. That's how the actual the water has a lot to do with the way the imaging is actually looked at. And so it's all my mind goes to is like when we're looking at all these people who have concussions and, you know, so like these little kids that are athletes, they're coming in and, you know, they were injured during football or something and they're already dehydrated and now we're doing an MRI on them. Like how much is it dehydration? How much is it really an issue with a concussion? You know, it's kind of interesting.
It's kind of a double whammy, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It really makes you think about it. And I think it should actually, like, doctors really need to, neurologists specifically really need to make sure that these patients are properly hydrated before they're doing any imaging or really doing their consults on them when they're trying to rule out a concussion.
Yeah. Because some of the signs of concussion, you know, the brain changes or swelling may actually mimic the signs of dehydration.
Exactly.
So, I mean, the point being is I think this illustrates that cognitive function and the ability to perform tasks changes for the worse when people are dehydrated. So, that really kind of substantiates the notion that these vague symptoms may be attributable to dehydration. And so often, we in the field of functional medicine, we're confronted with patients who don't have a bona fide disease diagnosis. They just don't feel optimal. They feel weak, tired. They suffer from chronic headaches, muscle aches, and so on. And, I'm not saying that this is always the case, but you really have to consider the hydration status of the patient when evaluating them.
First step.
Yep.
Exactly. First step. How many times a week do you hear, I have brain fog?
Yeah.
you know, yeah, I hear that almost daily from my patients, and I don't know how they know that word or those words, but they come and complain of that to me all the time. And I think, I mean, that's a known thing with this low-grade dehydration, too. That's the first thing that goes is cognitive function, doing tasks, and performance, you know, performing tasks. And I think the as little as 2% dehydration, which is not a lot, like we do that all the time, and you know, during our day, can lead to significant alterations in task performance.
When it comes to properly hydrating, I have to admit that one of my major sources of hydration is I drink a lot of decaffeinated coffee. And I've heard, you know, pros and cons on coffee. Coffee in itself can be dehydrating, but is it the caffeine? Do caffeinated beverages really a no-no when it comes to hydration, or can they be part of the solution to dehydration?
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, they have done studies on caffeinated coffee, and what they found is that anything under 4 cups of caffeinated coffee, and I don't know the exact, you know, I know some are, like, if it's Starbucks, it's maybe 3 cups, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Some have definitely more caffeine. Anything under 4 cups is not a diuretic.
Oh, good.
So, you know, but I will say, you know, I think when you're drinking so much of something, I don't think there's an answer. I'm going to step back on that, because I don't think that there's an answer. I think that there's some interesting benefits to the coffee, as long as, you know, it's clean coffee. And I think there's definitely some benefits to herbal tea. I think you're getting electrolytes and other nutrients in it, that antioxidants that could be really beneficial. So I do think it's the caffeine. Now, decaf does have some caffeine in it, too. So you need to mm-hmm. know how much caffeine are you really drinking and what is a lot. I mean, if somebody's drinking 10 cups of decaffeinated coffee a day, it might be too much.
That would be me. So I may be kidding myself that I'm getting no caffeine, and probably it adds up to a little bit. What about alcohol? Alcohol is a net negative when it comes to because that's, you know, America's
Absolutely.
Favorite way to hydrate. Is, you know,
so
you watch
alcohol,
a football game with friends, and you know, out come the beers.
Alcohol is absolutely dehydrating, period. You know, there's just no way around it. It is dehydrating. Your liver has to work hard at metabolizing it, and that uses hydration. So there's no way around it. Alcohol is dehydrating. We suggest drinking, you know, it's the old adage. You drink one glass of water for every glass of, or for every alcoholic beverage mm-hmm. you have in between.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good rule of thumb if you're going to imbibe.
Right. And, you know, I think of some of these youth beverages and energy beverages, you know, things like Red Bull and that ilk, you know, Monster. And, you know, I'm thinking that a lot of young people are inadvertently dehydrating. They think they're hydrating, but they're actually getting a big wallop of caffeine and sugar. And that's the other thing. Another of Americans' favorite ways to hydrate is to drink a soft drink. And do the soft drinks provide the same benefits that, say, a club soda with a twist of lime?
No, certainly not. No, for many reasons. I mean, other than, you know, people are listening to your podcast, you're the sugar king, like, you know. the sugar beverages, there's nothing hydrating. I mean, maybe there's a little, if I have to be really honest, maybe there is some hydrating benefits to it, but I think the other, you know, the detriments far outweigh those, whatever benefits you're going to get from hydrating. I mean, there is some hydrating. If I have to be honest, I'm going to say it, but it's not the best way to hydrate at all, period.
Indeed.
You know, speaking of sugar, though, this is you had sent me this article not that long ago, and it was the article about drinking water can suppress the vasopressin hormone receptor, mitigating obesity and metabolic syndrome in mice.
I was
literally kicking my heels up. So they found that this was done at the University of Colorado. They discovered that fructose stimulates the release of vasopressin, which is a hormone that's linked to obesity and diabetes, but it's also known as antidiuretic hormone.
Mm-hmm.
And they found that water can suppress this hormone and alleviate these conditions, so obesity and diabetes. This is kind of the first time that that's really been linked.
Is the implication that water can help you lose weight?
Yes.
All right.
Yes. I mean, before this,
it's a diet drink.
Before this, it's only ever been like the studies have been, mm-hmm. and we've mentioned these studies in the book. You know, drink a glass of water before mm-hmm. every meal. If you increase your water intake, you'll lose 5 more pounds. If you're dieting, those are the kind of studies that they've done.
Mm-hmm.
This is a very different kind of study and really mm-hmm. interesting.
So let's back up. The first one is like, okay, if you drink a lot, you know, you'll fill your stomach with volume, and then maybe you'll abolish hunger signals, right? You know, it's like drink a big glass of water before you have a meal. I mean, that's age-old diet advice. But this is a different mechanism. This is a mechanism that works via the pituitary and suggests that there's another mechanism to water's weight-suppressing effects, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Very cool.
That was really exciting for me to hear about, because we do talk about it. And there's some theories out there, too. I know Dr. Nick Gonzalez, before he passed, he wrote a great article called Water Dehydration, Water Something and the Perils of Dehydration. I can't remember. It's a really interesting article.
Sure.
And he talks about his theory of how this chronic low-grade dehydration can lead to diabetes, which is, people don't realize that. And we're not, we're talking about this day in, day out, low-grade dehydration
mm-hmm.
that most of us are suffering from and don't know it, you know?
Okay, folks, at this point, let's pause and allow one of our sponsors an opportunity to share this vital message with you. Naturally occurring black pigments in vegetables, spices, and seeds have been found to have powerful anti-inflammatory effects. Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and I'm excited about what I think may be the next big thing in anti-inflammatory supplements, a brand new, all-natural daily preventative against a host of possible inflammatory issues. Black for Health liquid extract from Future Farm Botanicals. Black for Health combines 4 plant-based foods, black garlic, black radish root, black cumin seed, and black peppercorn, containing high levels of body-ready healing botanicals. Black for Health supports your liver, skin, cholesterol, blood pressure, and weight management, circulation, and immunity. It's a tasty supplement with liposome complex for optimal absorption. For more information or to order, call 888-841-7216, 888-841-7216, or go to myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. That's myfuturefarm, P-H-A-R-M, myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman, myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. Thanks for listening, and thanks for supporting our sponsors. They're what make intelligent medicine a continuing free resource to you. And now back to today's guest, Dr. Dana Cohen, the author of Quench. There are several medications that contribute to dehydration. What are some of those?
Well, I mean, the ones that everybody knows about are the diuretics, you know, things like things people are taking for blood pressure, hydrochlorothiazide, and whatever, Lasix, furosemide. Mm-hmm. Yeah, those are literally diuretics, meaning they pull water out of your body. But the interesting thing is, when we did a little bit of research and looked up some of these things, they're very simple things. Aspirin, the purple pill, Prilosec,
mm-hmm.
Ambien, all some of these like
psychiatric medications, sleep medications.
I mean, Benadryl, we know about, like, gosh, if anybody's ever taken a Benadryl, you wake up and your mouth is like
cotton.
Cracked
because
you're pulling so much water out of you. Those are known sort of things, but the interesting things are things that we don't know about. Aspirin has been shown to, and you know, people end up in the emergency room from overt dehydration from it.
Huh.
You know, Prilosec, all those kind of things. So, and I don't know the mechanisms.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody knows the mechanisms. But it's, something to think about. So if you're taking prescription medications, you need to learn how to hydrate better.
Would it be fair to say that there's a pandemic of dehydration in America mm-hmm. and in the West?
I absolutely believe that. Yeah, I think and this is my own personal thing. I think everybody that walks in my door, is chronically low-grade dehydration.
Should be screened for it at the very least.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very rare that somebody is perfectly hydrated.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say the one thing, for the most part, this is easy stuff. We lay it out for you. We give you, what's the best way to drink? What are the best foods to eat? It's not hard to do. But I will say it's something that has to be practiced day in, day out, hour by hour. Think about, what you're putting into your body. Am I hydrated enough? Have I done well enough today? Meaning there are days I will sit at my desk for 10 hours. I haven't gotten up to pee once all day. And I haven't drank anything or eaten anything all day. It's something that we have
Check
to do
it
on
out.
A constant
yeah.
basis.
Be aware.
So
yeah.
that's, yes, be aware. Live in our bodies, not be cut off from the neck down,
mm-hmm.
Which many of us have a tendency to do, ignore our symptoms, ignore our bodies.
In the book, you place a lot of emphasis on eating your water because the delivery system for water is not necessarily just the water cooler.
Yeah. Yeah. Recently I've been thinking about this. I think this is why the celery cure the celery thing has become, I think, with thyroid patients, there's this whole thing about celery and thyroid.
Mm-hmm.
I think because celery is incredibly hydrating, that's, people are now drinking all this celery juice. I think they're just hydrating better because there's no relationship between celery and thyroid that I know of. Foods like cucumbers, vegetables. Basically, vegetables are loaded with gel water, structured water. That's
mm-hmm.
that's the best source of getting this water. And you're getting the fiber, which then helps absorb it and get into your cells. So you want to eat more hydrating fruits and vegetables. You want to limit or get rid of processed or ultra-processed foods. And then some of the stars of the show are things like chia seeds.
I was going to say chia, because chia really acts like a sponge for water and holds a lot of water.
It plumps right up.
Mm-hmm.
You put it in water and it holds onto that water, and it's a great source of omega-3 fatty acids, the ALA, alpha-linolenic acid, which is important for our cell membrane. There are these channels, they're called aquaporins, where that water gets into the cell, and they're lined by omega-3 fatty acids. We need good, healthy
mm-hmm.
fats in our diets for our cellular health, and that's part of the hydration equation, is eating good
to
fat.
Support our cell membranes.
Yes.
Yeah. When we talk about chi, a lot of people go, what the heck am I going to do with it? It's like this dark powder. How do you incorporate it in your diet?
So they're little seeds. You could throw it on salads. There's a couple caveats here. We talk a lot in the book about smoothies, which are blended vegetables with water, with maybe a little berries to sweeten it a little bit. You could do lemon, ginger. There's all kinds of smoothies. People know what smoothies are. But I'm not talking about smoothies with yogurt and that's ice cream as far as I'm concerned. But so blended vegetables with other healthy things. And so you could throw chia seeds in a smoothie. You can make chia pudding, which is probably the best way to do it because it's soaked overnight. So you're getting rid of those lectins, which some people can't tolerate. And it's a nice, delicious little snack. So basically you soak chia seeds in something like maybe coconut water or coconut milk, and then you can add some berries or shaved almonds to that. That's a really nice treat. I just had something today. Somebody gave me a little nut ball that they made. It was a homemade nut ball that was covered in chia seeds. It's delicious. it's a weird thing. But it's an incredible hydrating seed.
And you can carry them around and you can use them for personal self-defense as well, right? I'm just kidding.
Absolutely. Yeah. And there's a great story. There's a book called Born to Run. Did you ever read that book?
Oh, of course. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Classic
yeah.
about
so
running.
Those are
the Tuamahura, if I'm getting the pronunciation correct, the Highland Native, not Native Americans because it's Mexico, The indigenous peoples of the highlands of Mexico run for recreation, and they're like the most incredible runners.
And they use chia seeds for fuel.
Oh.
And very little water. These are desert people. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's really interesting.
I guess when you don't have a canteen, it's like portable water.
Chia seeds are the star of the show. They're a great great thing to do. And people always ask, do I grind them? Do I not grind them? If you can, you don't have to, but I like grinding them because then you're increasing the surface area. So mm-hmm. you're creating more, you know, gel water when you do add hydration to them. So either way is fine.
Good. Well, how many languages has your book been translated into now? I keep seeing titles in new languages.
Yeah, only six.
Only six.
Japan, Germany, French, Italian, Portuguese.
Can you say some of the titles in a foreign language? I'd love to hear what it sounds like in German.
Oh, gosh. I don't have them in front of me. Let me think. No, I can't.
Italian might sound nice.
What's the Italian one? I'm blanking on it. Sorry, you put me on the spot. I can't remember.
Okay.
I need to hydrate better.
Yeah, but you know, it suggests that the book really has international appeal, that it's catching on, you know, with audiences all over the world, and now it's out in paperback, having had a very successful run as a hardbound edition. So, what's your hope with the paperback? Is are you going to go back on the road again and do a lot of interviews and do some book signings and get the word out?
I haven't even thought about it. COVID is happening, so it hasn't even dawned on me, unfortunately. But I hope to get it into as many hands as possible. I'm so proud of it, and I really do think, and the feedback I get is that it changes people's lives. It's, you know, people, it just puts something so simple into the forefront. And we really wrote it with that in mind, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
It's not
complicated
to be rich.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not complicated. You don't need to buy weird foods and spend a lot of money. It's we really take that into account and try to make it as easy as people. I mean, yeah, we give a few crazy recipes for some interesting smoothies in there using weird ingredients, but for the most part, it's not like that. We're just trying to teach people how to hydrate, and that's one idea, but there's lots of basic recipes and how to cook. And my favorite is I give a recipe on how to roast a chicken because we've lost the art of cooking. You know,
mm-hmm.
kids say don't know how to roast a chicken.
Yeah.
And so I was like, I have to include this in my book because I think, you know,
it's simple, but it really is an art. And, when people want a chicken, they go to Costco and they get a chicken. They don't know how to take a chicken and season it properly, and you know, then you have some more control over it. You know, there's not a lot of chemicals in the chicken. You can get it, you know, you can source it,
exactly.
And you can put, you know, your own favorite spices on it without worrying that there's MSG and, you know, all sorts of weird ingredients injected into it.
And it's easy. It's easy. It makes the house smell so good. So yeah,
it's aromatherapy, chicken aromatherapy.
Exactly.
Or you can buy chicken aromatherapy candles if you want. They're probably available, along with the bacon aromatherapy candles, whatever.
I have an idea. That's interesting.
Oh, been done. They beat you to the punch.
I love it.
Yeah. All right. Okay. So a great way to start 2021 to implement a simple resolution that you'll get a lot of mileage out of, which is to up your hydration. Get the book, Quench. The author, today's guest, Dr. Dana Cohen. Dana, it's a pleasure talking to you, and we'll be in touch with you throughout 2021, and we'll keep swapping articles on the benefits of hydration.
Thank you so much for having me.
My great pleasure. All the best to you. Happy New Year, and stay safe. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.
Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman, As you know, this is a vital time to bolster our immune defenses. I've received countless requests for a specific list of supplements that I recommend to support immune health. That's why I've created the Intelligent Medicine Immune Support Protocol, my supplement recommendations offering the greatest boost for your immune system when it's needed most. Best medicine is preventive medicine. Just go to drhoffmanstore.com for more information. drhoffmanstore.com. In addition to the immune support protocol, you'll find easy-to-follow links for our supplement starter kit, heart health protocol, and much more. These protocols are an easy way for you to get the exact combination of targeted supplements you need to help you follow the intelligent medicine lifestyle. The same supplements I take for myself and prescribe for my patients. And for a limited time, you'll get free priority shipping on all of your store orders. For more details, just go to drhoffmanstore.com. That's drhoffmanstore.com.